The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
Turn with me, if you would please, to the 12th chapter of Hebrews, and we'll read about the 18th verse. Hebrews 12th chapter, the 18th verse, you read this, "For you are not coming to the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor into blackness and darkness and tempest." Paul says here that you are not coming to that. "And the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they heard, entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and unto an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly," which is what you're sitting in today, "and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." Now I know that's a lot of information there, and that's kind of a mouthful to read all that at one time. Let's consider, if we will this morning though, the context of these passages of Scripture, and let's talk for a while, if the Lord would help us, about the two mountains. I'd like to talk to you today about two mountains. The first mountain we read about in Hebrews chapter 12 in the 18th verse was the mountain that was described for us in the 19th and 20th chapters of the book of Exodus. Right. The children of Israel had been led by the providence of God out of Egypt into the desert, and it says in the third month, the Lord spoke unto Moses, and he said, "Moses, I'm going to give you some words for the people. I'm going to give you some laws that the people should abide by." And he said, "Go and ask the people if they will indeed abide by what I will give you." And the people said, "Well, certainly we will. The Lord brought us out of Egypt." And so the Lord told Moses, "Moses, I'm going to come down myself unto Mount Sinai. I will come, and I will stand before the people, and they will all see me as a great cloud." And he said, "Moses, when I will come on the third day and I will stand before the people." And he said, "You need to essentially rope off this mountain, because when I come and stand on the mountain, the mountain will be holy. And if any man or child or beast or any living thing touches the mountain other than you or Aaron, then that person or that beast will be put to death. They will be stoned or they will be thrust through with a dart." So picture this, if you would, today. There was this. They're out in the desert. They've been led out of Egypt. They're being led toward the promised land. But on their journey to the promised land, they come to this mountain. And this mountain, when the Lord comes and rests upon this mountain, is covered in cloud and thunder and fire and lightning. I mean, it is something almost, if you would think of it in this way, out of your worst nightmare. If you go up to that mountain and you accidentally step on that mountain, or you accidentally touch that mountain, bam, you're dead. It's horror. And out of that mountain and out of that experience on that mountain between Moses and the Lord comes the law. You can read about the law in Exodus chapter 20. It starts off with the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt do this. Thou shalt not do this. In other words, it is a picture of something, as the Lord shows himself, they're terrible and vengeful. And the people are in awe and they quake. Even Moses, who had talked with the Lord and had spent 40 years communing with the Lord in the desert, the great genius of a writer, Moses, the man who was accomplished enough in warfare that he could beat an Egyptian to death with his hands, and yet he was meek enough to go and commune with the Lord in sheep for 40 years over in Midian. That mighty, massive, gifted, meek man quaked himself as he stood before the Lord and heard the law given. And it was something that was fearful. It was something fearful. It was something powerful. And the Israelites saw this and they're astonished. And this is what they understand of the Lord. They see the Lord as powerful, yes. As mighty, yes. But also as something very fearful in Mount Sinai, as the law is given. And the law doesn't budge. The law doesn't change. The law is imperturbable. If you break the law, this happens to you. If you do this, you're blessed. If you do this, you die. And that is what the Israelites live under for hundreds of years. And then the Lord comes himself to earth, as we sang this morning, to a manger. And he is born as a baby. And he becomes the firstborn of God in the fleshly sense. He is firstborn. He is the only begotten Son of God. and that the Spirit of God came to the womb of Mary, and he was begotten there, and she carried him like every mother's carried every child since the beginning of time, and he was delivered. But he was not the only Son of God. He was just the only begotten Son of God. We are sons and daughters of God by adoption. In Romans 8, verse 29 tells us that we are predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So the Lord came, and in place, you might say, and in fulfillment of that terrible mountain that we see at Mount Sinai, where there's thunder and there's lightning and there's clouds and it's dark and you can't even approach and touch it, the Lord comes down and he comes and gives us a different mountain to approach unto today. And so Paul is writing to us about that here in the 12th chapter of Hebrews. And he says, the mountain that I'm telling you about now, the mountain that the Lord himself came to give you in this covenant, in this new covenant that he purchased with the sprinkling of his blood, is a different kind of mountain. Amen. It's not that kind of mountain where you die if you touch it. Right. It's not the kind of mountain where you're scared to go near it. It's the kind of mountain that you are to run unto. Amen. That you are to climb up, and there you visit with the Lord and you see the Lord. And that mountain in verse 22 is Mount Zion. It is the city of the living God. It is the heavenly Jerusalem. It is the general assembly. It is the church of the firstborn. And if you got up this morning and came to it, you are sitting on that mountain this morning. Now, I'm trying to pick up a little bit about where I think maybe what some things I talked about last time I was here. But let's talk about what that mountain is like. If you are like me, or not even really, really, really like me, just kind of like me in experience, and you have spent time in Egypt, which symbolizes a world of sin and a world of hurt and a world of sorrow. And if you've spent time and years down in Egypt, and you have hurt yourself and you have sinned and you have wounded yourself with your own sins and transgressions, and you have been blessed to come up out of Egypt, and you have been blessed to see Sinai first, to see the law and to see what God expects, and to see that you fall short of that. If you've been blessed to see that today, the good news of the gospel is that there's another mountain that is here for you today. Amen. And it is a mountain of joy, and it is a mountain of relief, and it is a mountain where you climb up and you look at your Savior and you see what he did for you, and you find rest and peace. Amen. That is a mountain of Zion. Right. That's what we're here to, I hope, to partake of today. Right. Turn with me to Jeremiah 31, and let's see what this mountain looks like, the mountain of Zion looks like. The Lord writes about it in many places in the Old Testament as we get a picture of what is to come. In Jeremiah 31, in verse 1, we read this, "At the same time saith the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest." For sake of time, we won't read every verse here, but skip down to verse 6. "For there shall be a day that the watchman upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, Arise ye, and let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God." Now remember, they couldn't go up on Sinai. They couldn't go up on that mountain where the Lord came and rested in the cloud where he gave the law, because the law was terrible. The law, though, was our schoolmaster, Paul says in the letter to Galatians, to bring us unto Christ. If you can look back there at Sinai and you can see the law and you can see all the thou shalt not do this and thou shalt do this, and you see that we've all broken every one of those at some time, if not indeed in thought, we've taken the name of the Lord in vain. We've coveted. You've done in your mind at least. You've stolen, at least in your mind. You've wanted things that other people have. We've all done that. We've all looked at Sinai and said, I fall short. Well, the good news is, Jeremiah said, a day is coming when the watchman is going to cry out to you who are burdened and who have seen Sinai and who have seen the law and who have seen how short you fall and how short you are compared to that. And he's going to proclaim something else to you, something joyful. Amen. And he says, arise and let's go up to Zion. So the mountain of Zion is not a mountain of fear and trembling. We're commanded to go up to Zion. You can't go up Sinai, but you're commanded to go up to Zion. So what does Zion look like? "For thus saith the Lord in verse 7, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief nations, publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant." In verse 8 he says this, "Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coasts of the earth, and with the blind and the lame, and the woman with child," that we heard about this morning, "and her that prevaileth with child." Another Lord says, I'm going to bring all my people to Zion.
Think about the people sitting around you today. There are people here from every walk of life. I'm a son of the South. I was born in Alabama. I've always lived in Alabama. By the grace of God, I hope I get to live here till I die. But there's people from up north. And there's people from out in the Midwest. And what are they doing today in Ecola, Alabama? Right? Coming up to Zion. There's people from every walk of life. There's people here that can fix your car. There's people here that can fix your teeth. There's people here that can fix your legal problems. There's people here that can do all those things. I'm in awe sometimes when y'all tell me what you do for a living, and I think, I wish I could do that. You know, what brings us here in common? There's farmers here. There's different people here because we're all children of God who have been called and God has chosen, as David said in the 61st Psalm, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causeth to approach unto thee. The Lord has chosen us and caused us to come here to Zion today and called us with his Spirit. And he says, I will bring them from all these places. I will bring the old and I will bring the young and I will bring the blind and I will bring the lame. I'll bring the ones that can't walk, have to come in a wheelchair. Praise God, they can still come to Zion. Amen. And some of y'all from Zion went out and sang to some of the ones last night that can't even get out of bed. Because that's what Zion is like. It's singing and it's praying and it's praising the Lord for what he's done. And he says in chapter 9, they shall come with weeping and with supplications. I know there are people here today that probably came with weeping on the inside. And supplications. And desiring things of the Lord. He said, I will lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of water in a straight way. What did John say? Prepare you the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. For all the mountains will be brought low. And all the ditches will be filled up. And the Lord is going to come, and he's going to come down to you in that day. And he says, Ephraim is my firstborn. Ephraim is my firstborn. You see, Ephraim was Joseph's son. You'll recall that when Joseph was sold into slavery in Egypt, the Lord miraculously and providentially brought him up to be second in command to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh gave him a woman named Asenath as his wife, who was a daughter of one of the priests of one of their gods, On. And he had two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. But when it came time for Joseph's father, Jacob, to die, and Joseph leads his son up to Jacob, Manasseh is firstborn. But Jacob doesn't bless Manasseh as the firstborn. He blesses Ephraim as the firstborn. Ephraim was half Jew, and he was half Gentile. When the Lord came here to earth, he was all man, and he was all God. And the Lord, and God said, that is Ephraim is my firstborn. He is the firstborn among many brethren, and his brothers and sisters will be like Ephraim. They're going to be half Jew and half Gentile. Think about that today. You're Gentiles in the flesh, but you're Jews by faith in Christ. Amen. You're Jews by the Spirit of God. You are Ephraim. You're the tribe that came up out of Egypt that weren't all Jew, and you weren't all Gentile. You're mixed. That's why you conflict within yourself sometimes, because you've got the Spirit of God, but you still got the flesh. Right. You still got the old Gentile there. You still got somebody that has to come down from Zion on Monday morning and go back down to Egypt and walk around down there for a while. But Zion is this place where the Lord brings us and he brings us in. If you turn back a few pages to Isaiah, the 52nd chapter, we'll read a little bit more about what this Zion looks like in the first verse there. Now, this is practically what Zion is like. Zion today is the church. You are not come unto to Sinai. You see Sinai. You see the law. You see how you've broken it. You see how you fall short. You see your footsteps leading from Egypt where you were in sin and you were degrading yourself in sin and hurting yourself every day. And you see how the Lord's brought you out of that. You're just like, we're like the Israelites. We were baptized in the cloud and we were baptized in the sea. The Lord has sent his Spirit unto us. We all drank from that rock, which is Jesus Christ. And we're all moving through the desert toward the promised land. And we see Sinai over there and it says to us, you can't touch me. You'll never fulfill the law in yourself. You need to keep moving. You need to keep going. There's another mountain waiting for you. And that's Zion. And here's what Zion looks like. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcision and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. I say to you, Zion, today, I know I'm preaching to the folks who already did this. This is what you did this morning. You woke up, right? You got up out of bed. Awake, O Zion. Awake. Get up. Put on your beautiful garments and come into the house of the Lord. Shake off the dust of the desert. Shake off the thoughts of sin. Shake off the thoughts of death and degradation and all those things and come in to worship the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, you have sold yourselves for naught, and you shall be redeemed without money. You know, I have sold myself many times in my life for nothing. For something that didn't even matter. For a substance, or for a thought, or for a fleeting pleasure of the flesh, I sold myself. And we've all done it to some extent. And the Lord says, you come up to Zion, and I will remind you that though you've done that, though you were in Egypt, I've redeemed you. And you can't pay for it, you can't buy it, I did it. The Lord said before time in verse 4, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I saith the Lord that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl. Now this is what Zion looks like. You get up out of bed, you put on your beautiful garments, you come in, you try to shake off the dust of Egypt and the dust of the desert, and you realize that you've been beaten and you've been broken out there in Egypt and in the desert. And what do? The brother did it for us this morning when Brother Tim called on to pray. You howl. You cry out. Amen. Lord, I am hurt. I need something from you today. Amen. My insides are all torn up and raw. And I need you to come down and meet with me. I am crying and I am howling because I need something in Zion this morning. Amen. Do you feel that way sometimes? Amen. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am him that does speak. In verse 6, behold, it is I. Where else in the Bible do you see that phrase? Matthew the 14th chapter, when the disciples are out on the sea in a little ship and they think they're about to drown and die. Who comes unto them in the middle of the night riding the waves in the storm? It is I, he says. You don't need to fear. When he gets in that boat with them, immediately they were to the other side. Today when you come into Zion and you howl and you cry out, listen, the Lord is here, and he says, it is I. I'm here with you. What else do you do in Zion? You cry out, you howl. Verse 7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. You come in here, you're preaching, do you not? About that Savior that reigns. In verse 8, thy watchman, the preacher, he's going to come in a minute, shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing. That's what else we do in Zion. Here's the formula for Zion in the New Testament. You wake up, you put on your beautiful garments, you come into Zion, you cry out to the Lord, you hear some preaching, and you sing. Isn't it beautiful? It's simple. And all the way back there, the Lord told Isaiah about what it would look like. Break forth into joy in verse 9. Sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem. The Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Keep flipping backward with me briefly to Psalm chapter 27. Another picture of Zion and what Zion ought to look like. I hope you came to Zion today because you wanted to see Zion. You wanted to see the Lord. When the Lord came down on Sinai, nobody could approach the Lord. He allowed Moses to come and to get the law. But the common people like us, listen, we would have been vaporized if we had touched Sinai. I feel like that sometimes today. I read the Word of God and I see how short I fall and how sorry I am. And all I can think to do is to come into Zion and howl out and cry out, I'm a worthless worm. And so, Brother Neil, that sounds extreme. That's what Sinai teaches me. Amen. I look at Sinai and I say, you know what? God is great and I ain't. And I can't climb that mountain, brothers and sisters. I'm scared to. The good news is you don't have to. You can't and you don't have to. You can't work your way to God. You can't climb the mountain to God. But there is a mountain Zion that the Lord calls you unto and causes you to approach unto. In Psalm chapter 27, David says this, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall be I afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. And he says this in verse 4, okay? Here's what Zion ought to look like again. Isaiah said, you wake up, you rise up, you put on your beautiful garments, you come into Zion. David says this, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Even way back there 3,000 years ago, inquiring minds wanted to know, right? They still want to know. I want to come into Zion and find out about what the Lord did. Because I see what Sinai was like and I see how short I fall. I need something better. I need a new covenant. I need to know about it. I need to come into his temple and inquire from the time of trouble. He shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon the rock. What is the rock? The rock is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Amen. It is the immovable rock. It is the chief cornerstone. It's the one the Jews stumbled and stomped their toes against and fell against. And they can run against it and smash against it. The gates of hell will never prevail against that rock. He is the chief cornerstone of the church. And if you come into the church today by faith, I'm not talking about in an eternal sense. I'm talking about in a timely sense. And you believe, listen, you've been set on that rock here in time. And you cannot be moved. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing. You read it again. What's the formula for the New Testament church? Awake, rise up, put on your beautiful garments, come into Zion, and sing.
Amen.
Hear, O Lord, when I cry. Isaiah said, how? David says, cry. To me, it's one and the same. Sometimes I don't know if my heart is howling or crying. I just know it's hurting. And I know you feel that way sometimes. Come into Zion. Cry out to the Lord. In verse 8, when thou saidst, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Verse 10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up.
Right.
Say, well, where's the preaching there, Brother Neil? I see the praying and the singing. Verse 11, teach me thy path, or teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. That's your teaching and your preaching. And David says in verse 13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. What does that mean? Well, that means you need to come back next week. Isaiah says that the Lord is your re-reward. He's not just your reward one time for getting up and coming to Zion. He's your re-reward. He's the one you wait on. He's your reward every week when you come to Zion. It's over and over, and it's a re-reward, and it's a re-reward, and it's a reward every time you get up and put on your beautiful garments and come into Zion. Because you can hear about him. But there's also something very timely in this passage of Scripture that Paul also addresses in Hebrews in the 4th chapter. Because David says here, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the living. I come into Zion and I'm brokenhearted sometimes, and you are too. And I howl and I cry and I pray in my heart. And I hear these brothers pray about how we're sinners and how we don't deserve to stand before the Lord. And they're 100% absolutely 1,000% right. We don't deserve to stand before the Lord. Other that we have the grace of God and what he did for us on the cross. And I hear that and I howl and I cry. And then we sing about it. And we sing about him being born. And we sing about him leading us on. And then we sing about, oh, how sweet to die in this flesh and see him someday in my spirit. And I think about those things. But David said, I would have fainted if I had not believed to see that goodness right here while I'm alive. I would have fainted if I had not believed to see it. You see, Zion is not just about getting up, putting on the beautiful garments, come here and crying and howling and pouring out your heart and singing and hearing the preaching. It is about that. But the last component of it before you leave here is we're instructed to believe it.
Amen.
To believe what you heard prayed. To believe what you sang. To believe what the preacher said.
Right.
And because when the Israelites were on that journey from Egypt to the Promised Land, they were showing us a picture of something. And it was a picture of the Lord's church today. They passed by Sinai and they saw how rotten they were. And then by faith, a few of them, just a couple, made it into the Promised Land where Mount Zion was situated. Not all of God's children make it into Mount Zion in this life. But if you've been blessed to come to Mount Zion, if you've been blessed to cry out and to sing and to howl and to pray, then the next thing you need to do is believe. Paul tells us this in Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. In other words, it's possible as a child of God, it's possible to miss out on Zion, to miss out on his rest.
Yeah.
Verse 3, for we which we have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. If you want to really push into Zion today and see the beauty of the Lord, you know what you need to understand? That his works were finished from the foundation of the world. That your eternal salvation and your home in heaven is wrapped up not in what you do and come into Zion, not in what you say, not in the works of the flesh. Your eternal salvation is already finished, and Jesus cried out and finished the essential component of that in giving himself for us when he cried out on the cross, it is finished, right? He meant it is finished. And in God's mind, it was finished before the foundation of the world. In God's mind, you're already called, justified, glorified. He already sees you that way. And if you want to really rest, you need to believe that. You need to believe it. So if you believe it, what do you do? In verse 9, there remaineth therefore rest to the people of God. There's a rest in this life in Zion that is only for the people of God. It is only, the Bible says the uncircumcision will no more come into that. Only the one that has been born again, circumcised in their heart sovereignly by God, is a candidate to believe and to come into Zion. But for that one who's heard and who's prayed and who's cried and who's howled and who has sung, you need to believe. Amen. So Brother Neil, do I just decide to believe? Well, you can only believe through faith. But we're just assuming that. You're a child of God, you've been born again, and you have faith. Yes, believe sometimes takes some effort. Paul says it right here. For he that has entered into his rest, he has ceased from his own works, as God did from his, in verse 10. And then he says, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. My responsibility today, having seen Zion, rejoiced in Zion, come unto the mountain of Zion, is to believe what I've heard. Amen. You know how you publicly express that is when Brother Tim gets through preaching this morning? By God's grace, you just get out and walk down the aisle and say, I believe it, brother. Amen. I believe the Lord died for me. Amen. I believe He gave Himself for me. I believe that He came down off Mount Sinai and He walked among us. And He went up another mountain carrying a cross. And He hung there and He bled and He died for me. And I believe today that He's commanding me, calling me, drawing me unto Himself in Mount Zion. And I want to join the church and be baptized. And then again, as I said, that weekly service is your re-reward. Right. I'm so glad the Lord didn't say, Neil Honey, just come up to Zion one time and you'll be good for life. It doesn't work like that, does it? That's why in some of these passages, for instance, in Jeremiah 31, we read that coming into Zion is like coming and being filled with oil and wine and fatness. Amen. In a spiritual sense. You're being fed. Amen. You need to come back and you need to be fed again and again, as often as God gives you the strength to do it. I thank you for your time. If you never believed, if you never come into Mount Zion, do it today. Amen. I'm telling you, there are children of God today that know they ought to be here in Mount Zion, and they're out in the desert. Amen. Folks, it's dry out there. Amen. It's hot in the daytime. And it's cold at night. Amen. If you've seen Mount Zion, and you've seen the beauty of the Lord and His holiness, bleeding and dying for you, grab a hold of Zion and don't let it go. Amen. That's a mountain that the Lord commands you to climb. I love you. Thank you for your time.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.